gravity waves may be the one thing that transparently moves between multiple dimensions. Most theoretical physicists now, as you know, believe in multiple dimensions, and gravity waves may be the one thing that move without difficulty between them. It's pretty good logic. And if it's true, we're just now beginning to study and have not actually yet measured gravity waves nor the speed of gravity. However, we're beginning. And if we're able to measure gravity waves, determine what's common to us, and then figure out what is not common to us, then we may actually be able to either at one end of the spectrum communicate with another dimension, or at the very least, essentially map another dimension. In other words, the gravity waves would be coming from things with mass, right? So we could study them, and we could literally graph the physical dimensions of another universe. It's an incredible idea and totally worthy. Looking at the news briefly, hardly worth looking at. Baghdad violence, of course. 29 people killed Sunday, including 3 American soldiers, and mortar fire rumbled through the heart of Baghdad after sundown, despite stringent security measures that were imposed after the explosion of sectarian violence. A ban on any driving in Baghdad and its suburbs. No driving. Helped prevent any major attacks during daylight, but nighttime came and kaboom. The port dispute. The Bush administration said Sunday it's going to accept an extraordinary offer by the United Arab Emirates-based company to submit to a second and much broader U.S. review of potential security risks in its deal to take over significant operations at least 6 leading American ports. The plan will avert impending political showdowns. Now, I'm sure they were advised to do exactly that by the administration when holy hell broke loose. Iraqi police conducted raids in a search of kidnapped American journalist Jill Carroll on Sunday, the deadline set for her captors, for the U.S. to meet the demands or she dies. Well, there's no word on whether she did in fact die. The 28-year-old freelancer for the Christian Science Monitor was kidnapped January 7th in Baghdad and was last seen in a videotape broadcast February 9th. In a moment, the rest of the news, as Paul would say. By the way, this hour is going to be, when we get to it, open lines. And once again, a warning, next hour, Aaron Donahue, he's a Luciferian, and that's no joke. In other news, France has confirmed the deadly bird flu virus H5N1 has been found on a turkey farm in the east of their country. It is the first time a European Union farm has been infected. France has already had cases in 2 wild ducks. About 80% of more than 11,000 birds at that farm have died on their own in the past week. The rest have been culled. Despite assurances that cooked poultry is safe, sales in France, as you might imagine, have fallen by about 30%. Japan announced an import ban with immediate effect. In other words, no more. In Canada, geese are literally falling out of the sky in and around Kaiser, and the wildlife experts up there have no idea why. About 150 Canadian geese were found dead Friday at a private pond off Wheatland Road owned by Morse Brothers, rock products in rural Marion County. 30 or so other dead birds discovered 3 months ago near Sats Lake, a private lake near Kaiser. Wildlife officials said that in recent weeks, large numbers of dead geese also have been found in Mammoth and McMinnville. They don't know if the incidents might be related. There are a number of other possibilities here, including avian cholera. All 3 areas, Kaiser, Mammoth, and McMinnville, are in the vicinity of Salem, Oregon. Since geese have been dying over an extended time period and an extended region, infectious disease cannot be ruled out. Canada geese falling out of the sky sounds remarkably like the pigeon story we had not long ago, falling out of the sky. Speaking of creatures, falling rain on the surface of the ocean. This is an amazing story. Falling rain on the surface of the ocean can be heard more than a mile deep. And at some frequencies, it's louder than passing ships, according to an oceanographer named Jeff Knutson. Knutson of the Applied Physics Lab at the University of Washington is among scientists studying how sound travels through the ocean to better understand how loud man-made noises might affect marine creatures. We don't really know what is too loud underwater, and we need to know what the baseline is, he said. Loud underwater noises, particularly U.S. Navy sonar, of course, have long been blamed by environmentalists for the fatal beachings of whales. In Maine, people in Somerset County are seeking answers after feeling earthquake-like tremors this week. The Somerset County Communications Center got calls Thursday morning from at least a dozen residents who reported tremors, things going on in the earth in a 15-mile radius in Anson, Madison, Shawangan, and a place that I'll never pronounce, but state officials said there weren't any earthquakes that were documented by the New England Seismic Network, which tracks earthquake activity. So the ground be moving, but they don't know why. Robert Higgins, director of Somerset County Emergency Management, said that he wants a second look. People in Ceylon the previous week reported hearing an unexplained loud explosion that shook homes. He said, I'd like them to relook at what might have happened. This is the second occurrence in less than a week of such magnitude. The town manager said that Thursday's event sounded something like a dumpster had fallen off a truck, or a truck had hit the office building, the town office building, but that nothing could be found when employees went outside to see what happened. More than a mile away, Jeffrey McGowan said he felt shaking in his office, but he too couldn't find the cause. He said it felt like somebody with a delivery type of vehicle had backed into the building. So big shaking going on there. Something going on in the earth. Snow. Snow that some residents described as, get this, chocolate brown in color, was reported across parts of Colorado Thursday, apparently the result of a windstorm in northern Arizona that kicked up a bunch of dust that then fell with the snow overnight. It's pretty much statewide, said Ethan Green, director of the Colorado Avalanche Information Center. We've had reports from the San Juans, Winter Park, in fact, all over. Green said it's not unusual to see plumes of reddish dust from the southwest drop on the Rocky Mountains in the spring. I've certainly never seen anything like that. Have you? Now, there is a rock out there. I wonder if you've heard about it. It's called Pophilus. It's 390 meters wide, and in 31 years, it could plow into earth. In Egyptian myth, Pophilus was the ancient spirit of evil and destruction, a demon, in fact, that was determined to plunge the world into eternal darkness. A fitting name, astronomers' reason for a menace that's now hurtling toward earth from outer space. Scientists are monitoring the progress of a 390-meter-wide asteroid discovered last year that's potentially on a collision course with the planet. And they're imploring governments to decide on a strategy for dealing with it now. NASA has estimated that an impact from Apophis, which has an outside chance of hitting Earth in 2036, would, get this, release more than 100,000 times the energy released in the nuclear blast over Hiroshima. Thousands of square kilometers would be directly affected by the blast, but the whole of Earth would see the effects of the dust released into the atmosphere. Scientists insist there's actually very little time left to decide. At a recent meeting of experts in near-Earth objects, NEOs, in London, scientists said it would take up to decades to design, test, and build the required technology to deflect that asteroid. Monica Grady, an expert in meteorites at the Open University, said, quote, it's a question of when, not if, a near-Earth object collides with Earth, end quote. Many of the smaller objects, of course, break up when they hit the Earth's atmosphere, and we have no impact. However, an NEO larger than 1 kilometer wide will collide with Earth every few 100,000 years, and an NEO larger than 6 kilometers, which would cause mass extinction, will collide with Earth every 100 million years, and said she, we are overdue for the big one. How will Earth look if it hasn't been demolished in 1,000 years? From Times Online, it'll look like Water World. An apocalyptic vision of life 1,000 years from now has been painted by a team of scientists studying the effects of global warming. If mankind does not put its house in order, temperatures could have risen by 15 degrees centigrade, that's 27 degrees Fahrenheit, by the year 3000, sea levels by more than 11 meters, 36 feet, flooding much of London. The team from the Tyndall Center for Climate Change Research says in a report for the Environmental Agency, abrupt changes could make Britain much, much hotter, or even, such is the uncertainty of these predictions, first colder and then hotter. This could happen if the North Atlantic current system should collapse, denying Britain the warming effect of the Gulf Stream. Ocean surface temperatures would fall by 3 degrees centigrade, 5.4 Fahrenheit, but as the Arctic sea ice melted, they would rise again by 8 degrees centigrade, 14.4 Fahrenheit, in an abrupt turnabout. That would be over a period of no more than 20 years. Can you imagine that? No more than 20 years. Satellite observations indicate that Greenland's glaciers have been dumping ice into the Atlantic Ocean, brace yourself, at a rate that has doubled over the past 5 years. Now, this is what I keep pounding in as we observe all of these different things going on around us. Normally, you would expect these kind of stats to be over, at the very least, a lifetime, 100 years, millennia, 1,000 years, whatever. But no. The rate of water from the glaciers has doubled over the last 5 years. The findings add yet another factor to the long-running debate over the effect of climate change on the world's ice sheets and sea levels. The evolution of the ice sheet in the context of climate warming is more rapid than has been predicted by models. So even the models are slow compared to, you know, what really seems to be going on. From Live Science, there is a new study showing that a mother's genes may affect her son's sexual orientation. Researchers studied about 100 mothers with gay sons and compared their DNA to 100 mothers with non-gay sons. Women have two X chromosomes, while men have an X and Y, but in heterosexual men, the X chromosome is inactive. This is a random process, which is why the number of girl and boy babies born is roughly equal. Half the eggs in a woman's body will have one deactivated X chromosome and the other half not. You know, there was an author who was saying that was not exactly true, and eventually there's going to be a whole lot more women than men, and men eventually will, well, disappear. Anyway. Researchers called chromosomes from women who had at least two gay sons, about 23% of the total. They found that all these women's cells contained deactivated X chromosomes. Only about 13% of the mothers with only one gay son showed this deactivation. This means that the mother is the one whose body determines if her son will be gay. So having a gay son must confer some benefit to the mother. An Italian researcher using only statistics found that in Italian families with large families, especially those with many sons, the older boys were more often gay, meaning that gayness may confer an increased fertility on the mother, especially when it comes to producing boys. Gay males are often the oldest children in large families. So I thought that was all quite interesting, and yet another step suggesting that the gay lifestyle may not be one of choice, but one of genetics. Now, as far as females are concerned, I think the scientists currently believe it is a matter of hormonal balance or imbalance, depending on how you want to look at it. All very interesting stuff. The longer we live and we continue with science, the more we find out. Now, I'm about to start to pick up open lines here. That means if you'd like to call and say something, you're more than welcome to do it. As many or most of you, I think, know, a couple of months ago now almost, I lost my wife, and I would ask that you not give me condolences. I've had, you know, probably 11 or 12,000, and I'll never be able to thank all of you for sending them. But here on the air, If you would please refrain from that, I would certainly appreciate it. And with that note, let's pick up a line and see what awaits. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, this is Art.
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow. It's an honor to speak with you.
And you, sir. Welcome. Where are you?
I'm calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay, what's up?
Well, I love the show. I've been listening for years, and I love it. It's great, but I've got to disagree with your guest. You're going to have one tonight.
Oh, he hasn't even gotten on yet, so
no.
How can you disagree with him?
Yeah, well, the fact that he's a Luciferian, I just think you're doing a disservice to your listeners by having him on.
Oh, I disagree completely. I think that the more knowledge we have about what exists in the world, the better informed we are about what's out there, the more we're able to deal with the world directly. So I don't think it's a disservice. I think it's just information. And, you know, as I said, warning, 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 you're free to disregard it.
Right. No, that's true. And I will listen tonight, but...
Oh, and you'll hate every minute of it, but you'll listen.
Yeah, well, it's always interesting on Coast to Coast. But I do have to say, I don't know if you are much of a follower of Edgar Cayce.
Sure.
And if you know his readings at all.
I do. I do, is the answer.
Right, and you would know that he had always said that Jesus was the master and Jesus was the way.
Mm.
So,
well, then why not quote,
I'd rather take
then why
seat.
Not quote the master? Why quote Cayce? Quote the master.
You're
going to want to combat Lucifer, go to the big guy.
Well, I think that's somebody that we all, at least your listeners, could relate to.
I see.
Somebody from the past 100 years.
Are you thinking Jesus has been gone too long to relate to anymore?
There is a lot of misinformation, yeah.
All right. Well, I'll imagine you sitting out there cringing in front of your radio.
All right. Hey, you got to ask him the tough questions, though, Art.
Well, hey, that's what
Right. I'm glad you're on tonight.
That's what I'm here for, brother. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, who is this again?
Who are you? Well, let's try it backwards. Who were you calling?
Oh,
Yes?
Coast to Coast?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Okay, cool. Is that you?
Well, not tech. I'm just one of the guys on Coast to Coast, but yes. And when I say you're on the air, that has big meaning.
Oh, I'm on the air?
Yes.
Oh, this is Richard in Seattle.
Hey, Richard.
I just called to ask you what sparked your interest in the supernatural.
Huh. Oh, what a very good question. What sparked my interest in the supernatural? I think the fact that it's real because I've experienced it. Turn your radio off for me.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah, okay. Again, the answer is that it's real. I've experienced it myself. And when you experience something that you totally cannot explain... You know, if you're not interested, then you're brain dead.
Oh, I've also experienced it myself.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, I was just curious because I listen to your show all the time, and I have been interested for a while. One of my friends, he listens to it, and he showed it to me. But
he showed what to you?
Oh, Coast to Coast.
Oh, the show, yes.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I've been a fan for almost a year, and...
Okay, well, I think the answer is, because we're running out of time, that clearly, if something happens to you so out of the ordinary, a craft is 150 feet above your head, or you have an experience of precognition, or you have an out-of-body experience, or something like that happens to you... Boy, here's another one. Linda in Yokosuka, Japan says, love your art, but very much like your other caller, I don't listen to Luciferians or any other devilish type people. Have better things to fill my mind with. See you next week. Love to the kiddies. Linda in Japan. Huh. Well, Linda, I fully understand. That's why I gave the warning. I think it's a good idea to keep an eye on the other side. Even the Catholic Church keeps a very sharp eye, you know, on what they're doing. And I'm not really afraid to explore anything. That's what the very basis of this program. And we go from one side, the Catholics, for example, and the Father Martin types, all the way to the other side, and virtually everything in between. It is the very nature of this program. First time caller line, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
My name's Diane, and I'm calling from Wilmington, North Carolina.
Hi, Diane.
I was just glad to hear about what happened in Maine, only because we have the same thing happen here about 5 weeks ago.
You mean a whole lot of shaking underground?
Yes. We work out of our home, and I was sitting here, and there's speed bumps outside, and I thought, oh, my gosh, there's construction into the street and that dumpster truck. It's funny you said dumpster because that's exactly what it sounded like. The mm-hmm. dumpster truck's having trouble, so I peered out the window, and there was nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
I started calling some friends, and normally when we have noises and shaking around, I live about 200 feet from the Atlantic Ocean, and they say it's the Seneca guns, the plates in the ocean offshore.
I don't know.
But this was totally different, and it happened in the Tri-County area here, way inland, like 40 miles inland. But the weird thing was that on the news that night, they said it was sort of like the Seneca guns, but not really, but they never offered an explanation, and it was curiosity to me that they weren't even curious.
That's because they don't know. And it happens here where I live in the desert as well. I've told this story before. A friend of mine built a porch on his house, and he sunk, you know, some great big, bigger than 2x4s, I don't know what they'd be, into the ground. And his house began vibrating every night so badly he could not sleep. There are things going on underground in this country, Linda, and we don't know what they are.
Okay, and that's why I want to ask you, because I trust you more than anybody I know. I don't even sleep at night because I'm scared to turn the radio off. I sleep with headphones on. So I just wonder if, in your opinion, and I'm 51, a little bit younger than you, and I'm a patriotic American, and up until a few years ago, I had 100% trust in our government, keeping us aware of happenings that would endanger us. I don't expect them to take care of me, but I just want to have enough heads up to where I can take care of my own.
All right. Well, here's what I tell you, Linda. If it comes up, it's going to come up in your closet.
What?
Does that help?
It's going to come up in my closet.
Yeah, that's right. Keep an eye on your closet, Linda, and have a good night's sleep. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Mr. Bell.
Mr. Caller.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, sir, Mr. Bell.
Mr. Caller.
I'm sorry. I was told to call your show. I am living in a decimated area from Katrina.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're slowly rebuilding, but while I'm working at night, I, out of the corners of my eyes, never full on, but out of the corners, I see or have been seeing
shadows.
They can run like cats. I'm usually a very down-to-earth person. This is...
All right, fine.
Programming is something all new to me.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you what I think. Last night I had a very heavy duty physicist on here. She is a qualified believer in the string theory. The string theory basically says that everything is in a vibrational state, and it's very probable that the difference between this dimension and other dimensions are a matter of vibration, a matter of frequency. And it's reasonable to conclude that occasionally, at least it's reasonable for me, not my guest last night, to conclude that occasionally when a human vibrational state gets to a certain point, you begin to see these things kind of halfway. And I believe these things might be other dimensional. That's my best guess.
Well, they've been here since the night of the storm. Before the storm, we had
maybe they blew in.
I wish I could have been hearing your show after the storm on anything else that other people might have seen?
Well, let's ask. You know, we've got people listening all over that area, sir, so let's throw it out. Anybody else in the path of that horrible storm begin to see anything unusual after its passage? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello?
Hello, Art.
Yes. What is your first name?
This is Glenn calling from the Rio Grande Valley.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling about the young physicist who was on last night estimating the amount of greenhouse gases coming from the our bovine friends.
Yes.
Well, I ran a little thought experiment. And
a thought experiment?
Yeah, regarding the amount of biomass versus, let's say, in pre-Columbian times.
Yes.
Well, that's not fair because we want to go worldwide. So they estimate the population of African elephants in pre-Columbian times at and or up to 100 million.
I see. Lots and lots of methane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if we include, there were high civilizations in Asia, which took a toll on the elephant population there. We'll say 50 million.
Even so, sir, I don't think it compares to the commercial farming that we're doing now in the world, the mass commercial farming that we're doing. And I have heard that the amount of methane from cows is not talked about, not estimated, not put into these global warming equations, and that indeed what he had to say last night was really quite on the mark. Now, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know that for sure, but I've heard it from many sources. And I also believe that what I suggested last night to my guest might be true, my second guest, that, or was that my first guest, or both, that there is a substantial amount of methane trapped in the ocean, and that there are certain conditions that could release such material into the atmosphere, and that would be catastrophic. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Daniel in Los Angeles.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm an alien contactee, and I have some information regarding Lucifer. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Lucifer is Satan. This is widely taught in the churches.
Yeah, I know. I knew there'd be an objection to that.
But Lucifer was the leader of the choir. He got into a battle with Satan and fled heaven and came to earth in a UFO, which is parked under a lot of ice in Antarctica. He lost in battles at Atlantis and Lemuria.
Now, you know all this from extraterrestrials.
Extraterrestrials. I've talked to their leader, who the government knows as Semyazi. We're getting.
Why has their leader come to you? Instead of, you know, George Bush, or I don't know.
Well, they are in contact with the Bush administration. They're giving the Bush administration alien technology in exchange for certain concessions. In the days of Egypt, we were used as
like
slaves.
What kind of concessions? Are they going to start running ports or what?
They have the technology to enslave us with the Mark of the Beast microchip.
Oh.
But we're getting alien technology in exchange for that. Now, Lucifer was renamed Adam. He genetically engineered Eve, and he is being replaced by Jesus eventually. But Satan is here right now. He's in contact with the United States government. The entire Earth's population is going to be enslaved with the Mark of the Beast.
All right, we're circling now. I got that. So the Mark of the Beast on the way, 666, right? Again, I think it's useful to hear what the other side is saying. And there are not that many people who will ever admit they're a Satanists or Luciferians. And we won't spend a lot of time on that tonight because, that has been done in previous programs. But we will explore it a little bit. International Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Good morning. I'm a little bit cynical about some of the paranormal and supernatural things you talk about, but I think it's really coming from the right place, in as much as I have seeked out from many places and many different sorts of people, Luciferians and all kinds of people, all the way back to the 60s. I've never once been able to, and I've put myself in positions to be really had, because I want to experience one supernatural moment of any kind at any, you know, chance possible, just to experience. I have not as much gotten a little dweeb or a Yankel or you know, and I run into these fellas like that was just on the radio.
Well, it's like wishing for a pot to boil, sir. You can't.
Well, in as much, honestly, not to be too argumentative, but I'm a very sensitive person. People think of me in a sort of a, when I'm in a mellow state, is more guru-esque and this type of thing. And I have been looking for this in a very subtle or very strong way, just a little bit so I could say, yeah, you know, it is going on. Something is going on. I do get bits and pieces from you and George, and I trust you guys that you do have information that I've not been availed to, and maybe I'm a little bit envious, in fact. So can you just maybe tell us one or two things that have really rocked your world in that regard so I could just listen and learn?
Sure. Sure. Here you go. One, I've had two distinct, one extremely close encounter with a craft over my head by about 150 feet. You know, a large triangular craft. It happened to my wife and I. And then there was yet another craft that we sighted in the contrail of an airplane here close to our home. And then going back years, I had a case of precognition that was absolutely, completely, totally irrefutable. I've told this story. Sorry to be boring those of you that have heard it before, but I'll do it very quickly. I was living in Santa Barbara, California at the time in a garden-style apartment. My car was parked out just off the sidewalk on the side of the street, and I had the curtains drawn, and I had some of those, you know, sliding glass doors that would open so I could see my car out there, and I came home one night from work, radio work, of course, and I sat down and began watching the evening news. And all of a sudden, it was kind of like ocean waves started rolling over me. Somebody's going to hit your car. Somebody's going to hit your car. I mean, it came in powerful, irresistible waves. And I finally cursed, said a word I can't repeat here, and got up and went over and opened the curtain and looked out. My car was fine. And I said another word I can't repeat, went back and watched the news, sat down, watched the news. Couldn't have been more than 2 minutes later. Here it comes again. Just like crashing ocean waves. Your car is about to be hit. Your car is about to be hit. It was overwhelming. So I said another word I can't repeat. Got up, went over, opened the curtains, slid open the glass door, watched a guy, my car was fine, watched a guy walking down the sidewalk from the apartments where I was living, walked to the front of my car, got into his car, started the engine, put it in reverse, and slammed right into my car. I sunk to my knees. It shook me to the very core of my being. I sunk to my knees and only got up quick enough to get up and yell, "Hey, I saw that." He said, I'm stopping. But it was irrefutable. Precognition. Now, if the human brain is capable of that kind of thing, it's capable of all kinds of things. And I know that scientists of the, you know, the hardcore scientists like the one I had on last night, just don't buy into that sort of thing. And they say, and rightfully so, that we need proof. But I'm here to tell you that it really happened. So if that kind of thing happens to you, I don't know whether you would consider yourself lucky or not. It's not a thing that's happened regularly, and it's certainly nothing that... and then, of course, there was the one out-of-body experience when I was on vacation in Paris. So I've had a number of things in my lifetime that have occurred to me that are just completely inexplicable. And how can you not move forward and investigate once it has happened to you? First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
My goodness, you know... I'm 85 years old, and I have had an experience, and I shouldn't say an experience. I had a long experience with UFOs. It sounds really crazy. That's why I'm talking to a believer, and I hope you'll... I just have to tell you that it's a long story. It wasn't that I just saw a UFO for a second. It was a long extracted period of time. They were here a long time, almost a year. And at the end of the year, or at the end, I should say, the last time I saw one, it was one of those things where I just got up, for some reason or other, went to the window, and I saw these things. And I don't know how to start to tell you, because all these years that I've been keeping this without telling people, because most of the times I would be, you know, just made a fool of and didn't, yes, wasn't believed.
Okay, you said you were 85?
I am 85.
85. And how long ago did this occur?
About the middle of the 70s. And I tried to tell so many people. And you, if I can just tell you the beginning.
Well, we're very short on time, so.
I know, that's the thing, you know, and it just started so weird because something tried to get through my roof in my house.
Oh.
It was at night, middle of the night. I was alone with my dog. And it happened 3 weeks in a row, and the third time it happened, it sounded like they were coming through the kitchen ceiling. So I decided to go leave the house and just go out, take my dog. My dog didn't bark, didn't make a sound. I took the dog and went and sat out in my car and was instantly enveloped in a fog that was unbelievable. I can't remember anything after that.
Well, then you probably were abducted.
I wonder, because I can't remember anything after that. But then, the following week, I saw this huge orange ball coming down out of the sky and just sitting sort of in the faraway trees. And I watched that for hours and finally called the police. And the cop came and he looked at it. I'm rushing because there's so much to say.
That's all right. The officer saw it.
Pardon?
I said the officer saw it when he got there.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And now I'm in the middle of nowhere here when I first moved to this town. It was nothing but hundreds of acres of land around here, absolutely a couple of houses, and that was it. No trees, no woods, no nothing. I mean, everything was all flat farmland.
Right.
And he came and he saw it. I had binoculars, and he said it was like a reflection in some window, a light, street light reflection.
I see.
He left. He said he would go and check it out. Never came back. 3 weeks later, I called there. The cops, and of course there was no answer, you know what I mean. So that was the first time, but I have to say that that very night after the cop left, I sat in the window and I said I wasn't about to leave the window until I saw it come down. I saw it sit there. I'm looking at it for hours, and I'm not going to leave until I see where it goes and what's going to happen. And I must have blinked, because it must have been about 4 o'clock in the morning by this time.
And then it was gone?
No. It was coming toward my house.